Hey everyone, welcome to 10 Movies, the podcast where we dig into the work of one actor through 10 of their films. I'm Hemel Javeri, and with me, as always, is co-host Brian Minter.
It's podcasting time! Which is my new catchphrase.
On this season of 10 Movies, we are digging into the movies of Jennifer Lopez. And this week, we're looking into the deservedly maligned Geely.
No, it is deservedly maligned. Let's get that out of the way right up top. Legendarily terrible film, widely considered, from everything I read, one of the, if not the worst films of all time. It's bad.
That was, you know, none of that was hyperbole. That's exactly what it is. But yeah, we're talking about Geely, directed by Martin Brest from 2002.
He never directed another movie after this. One broke him.
He never got
the
a chance.
The reaction to it broke him.
He never got a chance to direct
he
another
didn't deserve
movie.
A chance.
And no, he did not. He did not. But yeah, we're talking about Geely, which has pop culture renown for being one of the worst movies ever made, starring Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez, Justin Bartha, and with weird, unnecessary cameos by Christopher Walken and Al Pacino.
Yeah, it's a cast that you think could deliver a really solid film, but it did not happen.
All right. So generally what we do on the podcast is talk about the film, whether or not we liked it. We dig a little more into the cast and how it functions before we kind of get into the J-Lo-ness.
Now, you disliked the film so much you wanted to throw out our normal structure.
Yes.
And just bitch about how bad this movie is.
I did. I want to throw all of this out the window because I think it has no redeeming values. But even before that, what I want to talk about is that we are on episode 5. Of the Jennifer Lopez podcast. We're basically at the midway point.
We're halfway through our podcast season.
And I have to say that Geely has soured me so terribly on Jennifer Lopez.
It's not her fault.
I am starting to wonder if she's a good actress.
Well, here's the thing. I think that what I'm learning about Jennifer Lopez is that she is a good actress, mm-hmm. who has never been in a great movie.
This is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, like this is what I was thinking, is that she has not actually made a good movie.
Geely throws that reality into sharp relief.
I don't understand what it is, because for a while, everybody was saying that Out of Sight was like her best movie and proved that she could do it.
Not very good.
And it has not really held up over 20 plus years.
Yeah, I think the movies we've watched, every time I'm like, well, all right, I'll watch that. I don't think we've watched a great movie yet, but every time I'm like, oh, we've both said, oh, Jennifer Lopez was actually pretty good in this.
Jennifer Lopez is doing what she can do, but either she is getting cast in terrible films, she herself is making bad choices in terms of what to say yes to, or she has just not done enough work, right? So to backtrack, in past seasons of 10 movies, we've talked about Keanu Reeves, we talked about Matthew McConaughey, and all of those guys have made a lot of movies so that the truly great ones that they've made are able to kind of stand above, even though there's so much garbage in there, right? Like Keanu Reeves has made a bazillion films, and I bet a lot of those aren't great, but he's still managed to make some really good movies.
Right. You throw enough balls, you're going to make some baskets.
There you go. That's a good metaphor.
Thank you. Well, you know, as I always say, it's podcasting time. No, sorry. I forgot what I was actually going to say. But the movie Geely.
Yes, let's talk about Geely now.
You summarize the plot normally, which would be difficult to do because they forgot to have one for Geely.
There's no plot to Geely. It's some kind of half-baked Rain Man buddy cop thing, and that's it. I don't even know what I would say about the plot, except Ben Affleck is
Geely. The titular Geely.
His name is Larry Geely, which is so dumb.
The real weakness of this movie is the writing. I mean, there's a lot of weaknesses.
I mean, there's so many
weaknesses. The crowning one, though, is the writing. And I feel like even the title is telegraphing that the poor choices have been made, right? Like,
yeah.
It's really hard to say. And even in the movie, they're like, what's your name, Gingley? He's like, no, it's Geely. But it's never funny. It's just like, oh, right, that's how you pronounce the name of the guy in the movie.
Yeah, there's nothing really that happens in the movie. It is basically a setup for two people to banter back and forth and have sexual tension where there's absolutely no sexual tension.
So he's a low-level mobster.
Right.
He's clearly a Jersey person, but the movie would have us believe that he is a native of Los Angeles. And then he works for some bad... this is your job. I'm picking up your slack here. He works for like a higher-up and more awful L.A. mafioso.
Yeah.
Who sends him to... to kidnap the developmentally disabled brother of a federal judge.
Right.
Then, because the guy who gave Zhili this job doesn't trust him, why would you give him the job? He didn't think he'd do it. He then sends Jennifer Lopez's character.
Named Ricky,
who is supposed to also be a hardened badass, to go and also do the job. So they're both together, minding the developmentally disabled brother, played by...
Justin Bartha.
Of National Treasure fame.
We
can come back to his work here. and then really nothing happens, right? They spend 90% of the movie just walking around Ben Affleck's apartment. Once in a while, they go out and something weird happens.
I don't understand, one, why this movie ever got made, but that's not even the point. I don't understand why anybody ever wrote this movie. Like, we're going to talk about the fact that Jennifer Lopez is... like, she's supposed to be a lesbian in the film, and there's no point to that at all. It's so wildly offensive to me that I have a hard time talking about it.
But, you know, in the interest of dropping a hot take on you,
okay,
I'm just going to say this.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
Wow.
Like, it's bad, but the buildup for it was so... like, really, it is literally considered one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that... I feel like we've watched movies for this podcast just as bad as Zhili, right? Like, it was terrible.
If you say The Lake House, I will kick you out of this house.
It was terrible, and I didn't enjoy it, and I don't think anybody should watch it. But, it wasn't... and there were some genuinely offensive things about it, and it was poorly made. But it's not... I don't know. It's not that bad, right? Like, do you think this was the worst movie of all time?
I don't think it was the worst movie of all time, because I'm going to spoil it for you guys right now, but it's because I've seen U-Turn starring Jennifer Lopez and Sean Penn.
Tune in next week when we discuss U-Turn here in the dark middle of the Jennifer Lopez season of 10 movies.
I think that it was not as bad as certain movies, but like some movies that I have found to be truly awful. Have you watched this movie called Duets?
I have not.
It's a karaoke film, but it 90% of it is just like Gwyneth Paltrow singing like karaoke with Huey Lewis. And that to me, for a long time, I thought that was one of the worst movies that I had ever seen. And then I think Zhili tops that just because of how pointless it is, how bad the acting is, how bad the writing is, how offensive it is to have Justin Bartha play that developmentally disabled man.
Well, so the acting, yeah. I actually don't think is that bad. Right?
No,
so,
you're wrong.
So Ben Affleck's character... a major problem is he's more the main character than she is. Like, it's the two of them. But he's a really unlikable person, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think the movie is supposed to give him kind of an arc, right? He, like, as you said, the rain, like, oh, I stole a developmentally disabled person and he taught me to be better. So there's, like, a faint arc for him there. But he's generally, like, and he's not, like, a villain. He's just kind of, like, kind of a bro-y, douchey mook.
Yeah.
And he gets marginally better. So that's not fun to watch, but I do think Ben Affleck brought that guy to life. Like, they're both considered to do terrible acting jobs. He didn't do that bad. Like, I believe that Larry Zhili was a real guy. I went to high school with some dudes like that.
Oh my God. It's so funny because I did not walk away from that at all. 90% of the time that I watched him on screen, I got him confused with Vince Vaughn from Swingers, right? Like, it's the same...
Yeah, he's like a less fun version of that character.
Yeah, and it wasn't even Ben... it wasn't even, like, how good Ben Affleck was in Good Will Hunting, and he wasn't even that good in Good Will Hunting. There's nothing to me redeemable about Ben Affleck's acting, also because, in hindsight, I can see that he can actually act well, right? Like, he is actually a pretty good actor.
What's a great Ben Affleck movie?
He's good in Argo. He's good in The Town.
Argo's all right. The Town was all right.
Anytime he has to play, anytime he's got to play, like, Boston gangster guy, he's good at it. He should have just played Boston gangster guy in this film.
He's such a pointless, like, thuggish guy.
Well, there's one scene that really ruined it for me, and it's, you know, it's probably about one third of the way through the film, and Justin Bartha is talking on the phone or doing something. And Ben Affleck is so horribly aggressive with this developmentally disabled person.
Yeah,
he's
really mean
to this guy. He's so mean that you can't redeem him at all.
Yeah, you really dislike him.
Yeah.
And you dislike him so much early on that, like, later when he's marginally better, you're like, well, you're still basically an asshole. So Justin Bartha, the third major member of the cast.
Yeah.
He's the guy, he was in National Treasure. He's like the sidekick. He's not that exciting an actor generally, but Everything that is wrong about this movie is that, and maybe it's not even his performance, maybe the character written that way, but he does that thing that I feel like happened a lot in the 80s where you're like, oh, if you're developmentally disabled, you're just kind of wacky. And yeah. Like sometimes he's mumbling and he talks about boobs and he's like clapping and he's like doing all these weird mannerisms. It's no discernible, like, specific kind of disorder or mental identity you can get. It's just him like squeaking and flapping and squawking all the time.
I mean, it's like the script called for somebody to be the, not just the sidekick, but it's like they wanted him to be comic relief, basically, which is so offensive and horrible. Like, they don't give him an identity. There is nothing actually about his disability that, you know, is also related to his personality. Like, there's no cause and effect there. There's nothing that could clarify him as a person outside of his disability. Nothing.
Yeah, he's just a collection of what are intended to be comical mannerisms.
Yeah.
And so, at one point he stares at like a painting of boobs for like an hour.
Yeah, and they have this whole gag where he's really excited about going to Baywatch because he thinks Baywatch is a real place and not just on TV, and he like wants to hang out with pretty girls. And that's all played for laughs, and it's super gross. It's just super, super gross.
And also, like, Ben Affleck, and I think maybe another character, like, they're shouting at him, like, why don't you just quit be normal, man?
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, that's awful. Don't say that to him. But then later he kind of, like, learns to be normal.
Yes!
So all along, like, it really wasn't any kind of, like, mental block or disability. It was just, like, he needed someone to yell at him so he could, like, talk to girls better.
Yeah, he just needed some tough love. Like, it's so, so bad. And
it's
I told this to Brian earlier, but I think that Ben Affleck, Justin Bartha, and Jennifer Lopez should all actively be retroactively canceled for this. It's just you should not be able to recover.
I think careers were negatively impacted by their participation in Geely.
No, that's true, and I'm glad.
And Justin Bartha is the worst, and I would like to maybe not his fault, but he should have been like, "Hey, director, hey, Martin Brest,
yeah,
I don't think this is a good way to portray this character." And,
no,
and I don't think he did that.
No, and. We are old enough, you and I, both to kind of remember the context of when this came out. It was because Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck were dating, right? Like, they were a thing at the time.
Oh, yeah. I think they started dating when they made this movie.
No.
No? They,
no,
Jennifer
no, no. They started...
Was not born here?
They made this movie after, like, they were together.
I see. Yeah, so, they were the biggest deal for young people. You won't know this, but at one point, everybody in America cared that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez were dating, and we called them Bennifer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
we
Bennifer.
Did.
Yeah, so. Back in the day, there were, like, What About Bob, I think? This movie called The Dream Team,
yeah.
Rain Man. Like, there was, like, a tradition of treating mental disability as, like, a wacky comical personality trait.
Yes, kind like, of almost like the magical Negro trope.
Right, yes. If you have a like a disabled person, you know,
they will be the
going, yeah.
They'll be the ones to like teach you about life and love and what life really means and all this other stuff, like treating them as a prop versus an actual person whose disabilities, you know, impact how they relate to the world, right? So, are we ready to talk about Jennifer Lopez?
So Christopher Walken, he's a cop.
So that's a no.
He's in one scene. He comes in. It is like you should YouTube Christopher Walken Geely. None of the other characters have a line or react to him in any way. He just delivers a complete, what has to be an improvised bananas monologue. He's talking about putting pie on people's heads, and then he leaves. And that's the only time we see that character.
It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
And then in the end, this ultimate mob boss they've been working for, unbeknownst to them all along, turns out to be Al Pacino. And this movie's been very like sort of impressionistic and draggy. And then there's this horrible scene where Al Pacino, like, murders a dude in cold blood and then is just, like, walking around the apartment doing Al Pacino stuff with a loaded gun. Not a fun scene to watch. And, yeah, you got to wonder that, like, Pacino and Walken, did they know what kind of movie they were in?
No. I mean, maybe they knew, maybe they didn't. But I think a lot of people signed on because it was Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. And how bad could it possibly be?
And the truth is that it's very, very bad, and they should not have done it.
So, yes, I did want to briefly touch on those two those two Hollywood icons as members of the cast. But, yes, the subject of our podcast, Jennifer Lopez, and her role in Geely.
Okay.
She's so good, right? She's so just grounded and really...
Are you being sarcastic here?
No, she's awful. It's unredeemable.
It's awful and it's unredeemable. And I think it has significantly impacted how I'm going to view J-Lo from now on.
Well, I mean, like, most of it's the writing, though, right? Like, her character doesn't make any sense.
I mean, a lot of it is the writing and her character doesn't make any sense, but so much of it is all these, like, cool J-Lo things thrown away and repurposed, like, to be super trashy.
So remind me of your list of the J-Lo protocols. What are the things Jennifer Lopez brings to one's film?
So the stuff that we have usually talked about, toughness.
Ricky is supposed to be tough, right? Like, I don't know if she does a lot of tough stuff, but there's a bunch of dudes and she threatens to beat them up and then she's intimidating. Like, she's meant to be, like, kind of a tough person.
So one of the things, like, one of the shorthands for toughness for women is just making sure that they're only surrounded by men. And in so many Jennifer Lopez movies, she's only surrounded by men.
Yeah, she's afloat on a sea of dudes.
Yeah, and that is meant to indicate that she is tough because she can hang with the bros. So, yeah, I mean, she's tough, but also she's tough because she hangs with mob bosses and mafiosos and stuff, right? So she's
default. Yeah, and she talks Pacino down when he's going off the edge. She's like, oh, man, we're so she's definitely a tough character.
She's Ricky. A tough character. We talk about her sex appeal.
All right, so the movie leans as hard as one could lean into, like, the very idea, every single scene she's in, it's like, look how hot this lady is.
Yeah.
And I will say, at the risk of being canceled, she's hot, right? She's definitely, like, she's doing hot stuff in the movie, but it's just too much. It's just constantly, like, with her butt in the air and she's always wearing next to nothing.
She's like a sex object, right? It's like, yeah, her name is Ricky and she's supposed to be the foil and the antagonist to Ben Affleck, but she's also clearly just the object of desire.
Yeah, in the first scene, she comes in and she's clearly, like, using her feminine wiles, and she knows she's sexy and she's gonna, like, get this dumb mook to, you know, be distracted. So at first you think, like, oh, okay, the movie is gonna be kind of aware of that. But then the rest of it is just like, Let's ogle Jennifer Lopez's body in all these different scenes.
I mean, she's wearing this, like, inappropriate crop top, right? Like, it's basically, she's wearing this crop top when she meets him. There's a whole scene where they're supposed to have this, like, erotic flirtation while she's doing yoga.
Oh, that scene
it's so bad.
Okay, Google Geely yoga scene, and you will know exactly what we're talking about.
It's turned me off of yoga.
Probably the worst scene in a movie jam-packed with bad scenes. It's so stupid and gross. Yeah, she's doing yoga and she's all sweaty and half-naked and she's saying the stupidest dialogue ever written that I think we're supposed to believe is, like, hot, turn on sexy stuff.
Right, like, we're supposed to buy into, like, the double entendre of it all, where nobody does. None of this is subtle. None of this is sexy. All of this is, like, a 12-year-old boy's version of what sex is and what hot girls are like.
At one point, my lovely wife, Wendy.
Who I apologize profusely for making you watch this movie.
I didn't tell her, because she doesn't pay attention to popular culture that much, so she didn't know that Geely was renowned for its terrible. And when you watch the trailer, you're like, oh, it's a rom-com from the early 2000s. No. And we were like, 45 minutes in, she went, what is this movie? And then at one point she said, this movie is like another movie's dream of being a movie, right? It's so just like, at every moment you're like, what, was that right? That doesn't seem like a good choice.
Are we ready to talk about the fact that she's supposed to be a lesbian?
Yeah, so what we'd like to do on this season of the 10 Movies podcast is discuss how woke the film is.
Yeah.
We've already discussed the portrayal of the developmentally disabled person. But yes, let's talk about Jennifer Lopez's character's purported sexuality.
So she claims to be. Yeah, I keep saying supposed to be because there's nothing else that would indicate that she is a lesbian because the entire movie is about her flirtation or his flirtation with her.
Yeah, so
even though he knows that she's not available.
She comes to his apartment and he's like, oh, I don't need you to get into my job, lady. And she's like, well, I'm going to get on your job, lady. And then he's like, oh, you can just sleep in my bed because you're hot. And she's like, all right. So she gets in his bed and she's, you know, falling out of her outfit.
And she's got her cool Buddhist book that she's reading.
Oh, yeah. They always have her reading like. So anyway, he's kind of macking on her in the bed. She should not have gotten in the bed with him, right?
I don't understand why women do that, but yes.
She's
the least
in the bed with
worries.
Him. He's macking on her in the bed. And she's like, you're barking up the wrong tree. I'm a lesbian. Good night. And so then you can think like, oh, okay, she's going to. I could see where they thought they were going, but then the whole rest of the movie is just her being into him. Because why?
Why? It just, the whole thing falls apart. Like, I don't understand it. And it's just so wildly offensive because, one, it doesn't treat her sexual identity with any kind of respect whatsoever. It uses it as a titillation factor for the male gaze, basically.
Yeah, she's a lesbian in a way that, like YouTube porn or Maxim magazine considers lesbians, which is like hot girls making out with each other.
Right. And really, it's just the male fantasy of being able to convert a lesbian to back to heterosexuality because you are just too hot and too cool and they cannot resist you.
And I have met, been friends with, and lived with many a lesbian in my day. Not a one of them would have changed their mind for Ben Affleck's character in this
film. Right. If I were to think of, if I were a lesbian and if I were to think who
this
I might
would not,
turn
this
for,
would not
it would not be Ben
be
Affleck.
Your experimentation.
Not only would it not be Ben Affleck in this movie, it would not be Ben Affleck in any movie or in real life.
But so here's another like inexplicably stupid screenwriting choice. I think you were alluding to this earlier.
Yeah.
If you, the idea is like, oh, we want, they're not right for each other. They're so different, but they somehow fall for each other. You can do that without her. Like, the movie, she's not really lesbian at all.
Right.
Why make her one? Why not just be like, she's like, I'm too good for you. I'm too smart for you. I'm too different from you. I'm not into, like, you know, dumb street toughs. And that would all, the movie would work the exact same way, but it wouldn't have that, like, head-turning stupidity of her sexuality at the heart of it.
Okay, so let's walk through the ending, because I think the ending is where you think that she is going to, you know, go off and not be with him. But
be
a real lesbian. And that's not what happens, because she comes back.
I wasn't willing, but that's where the movie lost you in the final stupid 5 minutes?
No, but I was kind of like, I mean, maybe, and then no. Like, she comes right back. And
if Gigli could find a way to betray the film-watching audience's confidence, it would do it in a heartbeat at every turn.
You know, the lesbian thing is just, it's just ridiculous storytelling. It's all about male fantasy and male gaze, about how men actually want to be seduced and how men think women's sexuality plays out for them, right? Like, I cannot imagine any woman making this movie or directing this movie because it has no idea what women's sexuality is actually like. It's just like, these are just preteen guys who are like, we want to talk about hot girls and see Jennifer Lopez like do hot girl shit.
Yeah,
and
she's
that's
always
what it
like
is.
Stretching and sweating and talking about her vagina. Like I was saying, early on, you could at least say like, okay, well, a version of this is she is gay and she like uses this caricature of female sexuality to manipulate, you know, sleazy men. But she doesn't do that. Like, she's actually just, she falls for him. He's actually, why? Why did she fall for him?
He's horrible.
Awful. Yeah, he has no redeeming qualities.
I think we've delved into all of the stuff that is wrong with this movie.
Oh, there's one more thing we haven't talked about, which is terribly wrong with this movie.
Please.
Her girlfriend comes, do you remember the scene? It's short but awful. At one point, her girlfriend comes to the apartment.
Oh my God.
And how did her girlfriend find this guy's apartment? Nobody knows. And she bursts in. People are just always bursting in this apartment, and Ben Affleck's like, get the hell out of my apartment! But he never, like, locks the door. Her girlfriend comes, and she's like, oh my God, you're with this guy? And Jennifer Lopez is like, you know what? You need to go. This is I'm at work. And then she changes her mind, decides to break up with her girlfriend right there in front of Ben Affleck and the disabled guy. Her girlfriend picks up a knife and slits her wrists, which you're not expecting. And it hasn't been that kind of movie heretofore. So suddenly you're like, oh my God, I just watched a suicide attempt on film. And they take her to the hospital.
I don't want to laugh, but it's so bad.
The only like real lesbian character in this movie is a psychopath.
And it's kind of like exactly, like it's so insanely disrespectful to be like, yeah, all lesbians are crazy, man. If you try to break up with them, she's just gonna kill herself.
Yeah,
right? Like,
to go
there's
herself.
No, these people aren't normal.
The movie's insanely disrespectful to gay women, developmentally disabled men, and viewers.
Every
viewer. Person who watched it. So now, how illusion in the podcast, we talk about the most valuable player. Who did you feel was the most valuable player other than Jennifer Lopez and Gigli?
There's no MVPs in this movie.
No, it can't be done. It's null.
It cannot be done. This movie is available on streaming, and frankly, they should pull it off of every digital platform.
No one contributed value, therefore no one can be the most valuable by definition. Who would you say was the least valuable player in the film?
Oh, that's great.
Who did you? Yeah,
I'm gonna sorry.
Have to give it to him.
I'm sorry, Justin. I don't
that terrible hand flapping, squawking portrayal of.
I don't even feel bad that he had to do it. I am befuddled that anybody would do this.
And there wasn't even a like. At first, he's like he seems to be like, oh, he's autistic. He's on the autism spectrum, right? This sort of like in Rain Man, Dustin Hoffman is doing like kind of a high functioning autistic character, but at least like you get a sense that like the actor and the film writer are thinking of a specific condition someone would have.
Yeah.
And that is kind of how this character is. Brian is at first, because you know he doesn't want to be touched, and he's kind of withdrawn, he doesn't make eye contact. But then he abandons it, and he's just like cycling through all kinds of different like mental disabilities or mental conditions one could possibly have.
It's a terrible movie all around.
I even take back that I said earlier that it was. I mean, it's it isn't the worst movie I ever saw, but it is well down there.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I resent the 2 hours that I had to spend watching it.
I know, it's not even short, for Christ's sake.
No, it's just all around bad.
It feels interminable when you're watching it.
I think that more people need to give Ben Affleck shit for it. I want to reach out to his new girlfriend, Ana de Armas, and see if she's seen what a tragic, horrible movie this is.
She's quite young. She probably is.
Yeah,
young
and
too
see if she still wants to sleep with him after having watched this, because she might change her mind.
I don't have anything against the man. She seems very lovely and charming. Let's have her not watch Geely, right? Like, why do that to them?
I'm bitter that I had to watch it, and now I want other people to watch it.
Sometimes, you know, people talk about a movie being so bad it's good. I do feel like if I had watched this movie, like, with 4 or 5 people, and we were drinking or something, I would have, because you could have really enjoyed each new stupid thing once you settled into it.
But. Right. Okay, I would give you that, but... on a scale of Geely to Anaconda, Anaconda is way, way better.
Yeah, Anaconda was a lot more fun than this. The one thing about watching Geely is that like I haven't really enjoyed any of the movies we've watched so far that much, and this makes them all look better in comparison. I would absolutely go back and rewatch Made in Manhattan again and get a lot more out of it.
I mean, we're 5 movies into this podcast, and right now I think that Made in Manhattan might be the best Jennifer Lopez film, which is...
That's the problem here. Why hasn't Jennifer Lopez made any good movies?
I'm starting to think that Jennifer Lopez hasn't actually made any good movies. So.
We've watched 5 stinkers, and they're at a nadir here.
No, and I cannot recommend in good conscience that you watch this. There's plenty of other things that you could be doing with your time.
Speaking of bad movies starring Jennifer Lopez, what are we watching next week, Hemel?
Well, let me tell you that on the recommendation of friend and listener, Sari Wiener, we're watching U-Turn, 1997
movie. Sounds like
movie
you might have seen this film.
Directed by Oliver Stone. Spoiler alert, I have seen it, and I can tell you guys that you are in for a treat.
Well, you know, Oliver Stone is he's a critically acclaimed director. He has a lot of, you know, a strong point of view. It's got an all-star cast from what I see. So I think that our loyal legion of listeners should all watch U-Turn.
No.
And join us here next week on the podcast.
I do not want that on my head. Please let it be known. All right, but yes, please remember to rate and review us on iTunes or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. And we'll see you next week.